Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News. Shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, is my co-host Nick Mason.
I'm here, James. I'm ready to talk stuff.
What are you here to talk about?
Stuff.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get involved in whatever these things are you plan to talk about in the show. Do you want to know what we are going to talk about this week?
Or do you
want to look at those McDonald's Monopoly tokens you have?
I want a small drink.
Small drink.
Yeah. And as agreed upon, you can get half the drink.
Which half?
The bottom half.
So after you drink half, or you'll cut the cup in half?
I mean, that's your call, I think.
Cut it in half. Okay. Then your top half will fall out.
How about this?
It's not that I want it, it's just that I don't want you
James,
to have
it. Okay, James, how about this? We get an impartial third party. We get Claire.
Okay, impartial? I think she likes you more than me.
Yeah, no, probably. But all right. But nevertheless, we give her a samurai sword. She slices it.
Like a fruit ninja.
Like a fruit ninja, like in a horizontal line.
Yep.
And we both stand by and we have with our hands out. And whatever we can catch in our hands, we can drink.
I love it.
Yeah.
Could we have our hands there beforehand when she's swinging the samurai sword to get ready?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay, if we want to live on the edge. Sure.
I do, actually. I do
on
very
the edge
much.
Of a samurai sword.
I do.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention up top that I was on a terrific podcast this week. I was glad that I could finally do, because they finally asked me, Mason. I've been waiting this whole time. I'm, of course, talking about our Total Reboot podcast.
That's
the
right.
Total Reboot podcast with Cam and Alexi.
Friends of the show, Cam and Alexi, people will know from their podcast Finding Drago and Finding Desperado, which is sort of
incredible,
very
podcasting.
Funny, very silly, investigative podcast. Yeah. They're funny, but it's also like they do real investigation into real sort of filmic and fiction mysteries. So it's
also immensely satisfying.
Right?
It's not just like, what was it?
They
figure things out.
Yeah, you know, you listen to one of those true crime podcasts and then you do six episodes and they're like, at the end they're like, and in the end we'll never really know.
The Wikipedia article just ended.
I wish I could pull all this out of my brain now. Thanks. Thanks for nothing.
But they're doing a limited series on Man versus Machine. And I'm in the first episode where we talk about The Terminator, which is one of my favorite probably movies of all time, and also sci-fi movies, which would also be one of my favorite sci-fi movies, wouldn't it be also, I guess?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I neglected to mention on the show, and I should have, that we did the Matrix movies for
Garbage.
I should have spruiked it, Mason, I didn't. But luckily you're going on soon, aren't you?
Yeah, next couple of weeks we're going to talk about something as well. So maybe I'll remember to spruik it. I'll forget.
But that's okay. Anyway, it's great. It was really fun. And we just talk about The Terminator and how good The Terminator is, and make fun of James Cameron quite a bit, which is good.
Good.
Yeah. And Cameron James, who was on the show, has a great James Cameron story. And, yes, the names, it ties into their names.
How they have the same name. Yes. They have the exact same name.
Yeah. Anyways, there are time codes below if you do want to jump around, because this is going to be a big bumper news week, and it's some other bits and pieces we want to throw in, Mason, isn't it?
Just call us News Week, folks.
That's right.
Just give us that trademark.
Please.
We're News Week now.
We have the passing of a legend in Michael K. Williams. We're going to talk about delays but not dismays and things that are moving up. There's a bunch of things there. We've got a runtime for No Time to Die, Christopher Nolan's next project, some Aquaman stuff, some Batgirl stuff, trailers for The Matrix Revolutions.
Resolutions, yes.
The Matrix Rebel Yell.
We're finally getting some resolutions, they say, at the end of the trailer. That's how you know.
Plus, there's some huge games that were revealed, including Spider-Man 2, Wolverine. There was a God of War Ragnarok trailer, which sort of ties into what we're doing. Knights of the Old Republic, it's a remake. New trailer for Star Trek Picard, the Injustice animated series, and Don't Look Up. And, of course, we're going to go through some of the responses that people had to the surveys that was put out concerning what are the best comic book movies of all time.
That's right.
Whatever that thing is we did. And then we'll talk a bit of Rick and Morty and what we're reading.
Yeah,
we,
Mason? Maybe another thing.
And maybe another thing. Okay, so let's kick things off with Michael K. Williams passing away at the age of 54, which is just atrocious news.
Yeah,
no good at all. It's a possible overdose, though. It's still early days at this point. You've probably seen him in anything.
He's been in many things. For me, he's probably best known as Omar Little in The Wire, who's sort of like a The Punisher, Chopper Reed style sort of standover man who robs the drug dealers and becomes a sort of a street folk hero.
Mm.
He was also Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire.
Yep.
He was in 12 Years a Slave.
Yep, recently in Lovecraft Country.
Yeah,
he's in The Road. He plays a professor in Community for a couple episodes.
That's right.
And he's just come out of prison and he does this great speech about how Lego has changed. And nobody, do you remember that? And nobody remembers how Lego used to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a massive loss. Like, he is incredible talent and by all accounts a very nice man.
And a good dancer.
Really?
He used to choreograph like 90s music videos.
Did he really?
Yeah. Whenever he's doing like big time dances.
Big time dancing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. Yeah. Anyway, I should watch The Wire.
You should watch
The Wire. Well, I'm currently working my way through The Sopranos, so maybe I'll do.
What are you up to? What season?
About halfway through season two. It's a good show. I don't know what people are talking about, Mason. It's actually quite good. People should get on it if you haven't already.
Mm.
It's quite, people don't like it, but I like it.
And to be clear, you like it and you fully endorse the actions of all the main characters.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
I identify with them. And I like them.
Yes.
And I wish they were real. And I wish I was real. And
I noticed you've started doing that thing with your pasta fork where you twirl it around a lot before you eat.
Again, the pasta, I'm going to make this complaint every time we bring it up, doesn't look good in the show.
That's why he's always twirling. Mm. He's trying to find an excuse to not eat the pasta. He's always like,
food continuity is hard in movies.
He's always twirling his fork and he's like, man, I hope some mafia stuff happens before I have to eat this and I can take care of the mafia stuff. No mafia stuff. All right.
Once you notice in movies and TV shows that people aren't really eating a lot of the time, it's very distracting.
Are you aware of the spit bucket?
Oh, but they because if you do have to eat,
the wisdom is there's a bucket like side of set, and you pretend to eat and then you just spit.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's like, you know how like when people are like apprentice tradesmen or whatever, they like prank them.
Right.
Know, get some checkered paint, get some left-handed screwdrivers or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently on set, on like movies, Nobody mentions the spit bucket. Like, they just like, so if you're like a budding actor and this is your first role and there's a big eating scene, nobody's like, you should definitely get a spit bucket. They're just like, enjoy.
You should
eat. You're like, I'm loving this.
You should eat all of this bread.
I'm eating all this bread. And then they're like, all right, we're gonna do 15 more takes and then we can go. Ugh.
I don't like bread anymore.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mason, it's delays but not dismays. Actually mostly good news.
Go on.
But we're gonna start off with a delay. Furiosa. The movie, a Mad Max prequel, starring the character of Furiosa, but it's been recast.
Oh.
Remember Anya Taylor-Joy is taking on the role from Charlize Theron, which kind of sucks. I would have liked to have seen the Charlize Theron version, but also none of the movies are connected probably.
That's true.
And whatever. But it is George Miller, but it's moving from June 23, 2023 to May 24, 2024. So the whole production has been shifted back somewhat.
Okay.
They're filming it in New South Wales. More like Old South Wales by now, am I right, Mason?
Got him.
Absolutely. Thank
got
you.
Him.
Yeah. and
they get worse every week. We've run out of stuff to make fun of Sydney about. So,
and that's where it's at. It feels so far away at this point anyway, so I don't really care, to be honest. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I didn't know when it was coming out, and now it's coming out at a different date, you know?
So I think just every day we're happy that they made Fury Road.
Exactly.
If nothing else, we got Fury Road, so.
Nothing else. Venom is feeling very bold about themselves, Mason.
Go on.
Because it's moved up from October 15th to October 1st.
Whoa!
No doubt because Shang-Chi has done so well and looks to have a minor drop-off in its second week. Just a huge box office. I mean, in general, it's a pretty good box office, but now it's huge in particular. It's the biggest movie of the year, the opening, Mason.
And one day we'll see it and we'll have an opinion on it.
I'm kind of zen about it at the moment. I'm like, yeah, you know, how do you feel
channeling
about
the spirit
it?
Of Shang-Chi.
You have to, Mason. Mm. You have to. How do you feel about it?
I've got to see it. Yeah. I'll kill everyone in this room to see it right now.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So I think Venom's thinking, we can do all right here. But while everything else is running...
I'll stop you there. Venom isn't thinking anything because Venom's a fictional character.
Oh, you're very good, Mason. I like the jokes that you make.
I'm not joking, James. I'm still mad about the Shang-Chi thing.
And fair enough. Anyway, you looking forward to it? Because you won't be able to see it, probably.
I'm a little bit zen about it, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't... I'm not in any particular rush.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, apparently... what do we got here? This is in regards to the Eternals.
Okay.
And this is from what I'm hearing. Not what I'm hearing.
Okay.
It's from...
This is from what I'm hearing, just on the streets.
Yeah.
Just on the streets people of the suburb in which I live.
Yes. This is a website called What I'm Hearing that has all sorts of scoops, apparently. It says, after Disney CEO Bob Chapek basically dared Shang-Chi to perform in theatres over Labor Day weekend and it did $94 million domestically, he couldn't possibly put Eternals on Disney Plus day and date, right? I'm told Chapek and distribution chief Kareem Daniels have made their decision on the November movie's fate and it will indeed receive an exclusive theatrical run.
Whoa.
Maybe we'll see that one in theatres, Mason.
Maybe.
We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe there'll be some sort
I'm zen about
maybe there'll be some sort of Shang-Chi Eternals double feature.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. So not surprising given how well it went, but also the pandemic is... It's going in an opposite direction at the moment in the US, so that could change, but they seem pretty set on it at the moment at least. And there you go. Here's some good news for something you could see though, Mason.
Okay, I'm ready.
Halloween Kills.
Oh, yes.
The sequel.
Yes.
Halloween Thrills?
Yeah, that's right.
So what was the last one called? Was it just
Halloween Chill Pills. They were like, settle down,
just
everyone.
Just chill out, man.
God.
He's like 90. Don't worry about it.
Just...
Is he running or is he walking?
Just move at slightly faster than walking pace and he'll never get you.
Exactly.
Just take some chill pills.
It'll be absolutely fine. Anyways, that's moving from theatres exclusively to streaming on your favourite streaming service.
Go on.
Peacock.
Yes.
Do we have it here?
We don't.
We might though.
Well, we don't have Peacock and we don't have Hulu.
Yeah.
But I think some of that stuff goes on maybe Disney Plus.
Yeah, right.
So maybe that.
Very good.
Or maybe something else. Who knows?
Who does know?
Maybe we'll never see it.
No, I was just there was one recently available in Australia. It's not Peacock. We have a new streaming service.
Paramount.
Paramount. Thank you. That's exciting, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, he's right. He's right, everyone. He dared to say it.
The only thing that I'd possibly want to see on that is the Mark Wahlberg movie where he's a Highlander. And even then, I don't want to see that. Really.
I think you can just buy that now.
I don't want to though.
But you could buy it. You could spend your money on it.
That is true.
What do you mean I'm immortal? What do you mean, what do I mean? It's just that scene to get it again.
It's just the other character like constantly handing over like simpler and simpler like dictionaries with the definitions in them and being like, look, immortal, someone lives forever? What do you mean I can live forever?
So there you go. You're looking forward to Halloween Thrill Kills?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So we can probably do an episode on that.
Do you think this will be the last one?
No, apparently it's like a stepping stone to another one.
Yes.
And why not? How excited are you about how much time you've got left to die?
Very.
Okay, good. Because we have the...
I didn't know what you were going to say initially, but I'm very excited for things generally.
Yeah.
But then when you said the thing, very excited.
Exactly. Because No Time to Die, the latest and greatest in the James Bond franchise, has an official runtime, Mason, of 2 hours and 43 minutes.
That's very quite long, isn't it?
Do you think it's too long? Is it enough time to die, et cetera, the joke?
No, I don't think it'll be too... I mean, at this point, we're okay with, you know, an end game being 3 hours long or a Justice League being 4 hours long. So
are we?
I don't know if we really are. But the novelty pushed us through, I think.
Certainly.
And I think, yep, 2 hours 43 is probably reasonable. Again, if this is intended to wrap up Daniel Craig Bond and they're actually committed to actually doing it this time, then sure, absolutely.
I agree.
There's our calendar. You going to buy another one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Claire and I were recording the other week for our episode of Suggestible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was left in the show where she looked up and she's like, she just caught her eye. And then I had like explained it to her. I'm like, okay, so basically, I don't know whether I got left in or not, I can't remember. But there you go. We're also starting the James Bond, Daniel Craig movies for Caravan of Garbage this week. I had to think about it. That's what it's called. And it's starting this week. And we're also doing a little bit of a video game in each one like we did for The Matrix.
James, you said little bit of a video game and then you did some little spirit fingers.
Yeah. It's been a nightmare. Not only to set up and get recorded, but also I had to play so many of these games.
Mm.
And it's just, I'm just not having a good time with it, if I'm honest.
I'm having a great time because I just show
you
up.
You just show up and then you watch me play it for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is a bad game. And I'm loving watching this little snippet on. I'm glad I didn't have to play it for several hours beforehand. That's what I say. And I poke you.
Yeah, you poke me.
Poke you with a stick.
There's been some good stuff in there, actually. They're not all bad games. Do you want a report from Deadline, Mason?
Yes.
Is that what you feel like at the moment? So, Christopher.
In fact, James, you're on Deadline.
What for?
To tell me that headline.
Let's do it.
If you don't.
What?
I'll have your guts for garters.
Oh, no.
Yep.
I don't like that. I'll just tell you then. I'll just do the news.
Okay, you've got, you know, the window's closing. You've got mere seconds to tell me the
Christopher
thing.
Nolan
James,
is,
if you don't tell me the thing from Deadline, you're going to do the guts for garters thing.
Christopher Nolan is ready. His next film and Deadline here is like Dunkirk, it'll focus on a seminal moment in World War II. This one is J. Robert Oppenheimer's role in the development of the atom bomb during World War II. He's a bombshell development. While none of Nolan's recent movies have gone outside Warner Brothers, I'm hearing that several of the major studios across town are reading the screenplay and speaking with Nolan and his reps.
Beep, 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 beep. Just made it, James.
Oh, my guts.
Your guts remain and not for garters.
Did you catch any of that?
Something about Oppenheimer developing the atom bomb.
So his next movie is World War II about Oppenheimer, who created the atom bomb and then afterwards went, oh, fuck, his famous quote.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Should I?
I focused too hard on making it go and I didn't consider the ramifications of whether I should have made it go.
Maybe it went, a lot of people were killed. Should they have dropped two as well, Mason? You familiar with this train of thinking? Right, train of thinking?
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah. Seems excessive. I don't know. Anyway.
I think there is a good video from Sean.
Yes, I was going to say. Sean. Who talks about it.
YouTube channel Sean.
I didn't pause there to think. I paused to drink, just so people know. I wasn't thinking about anything.
He never pauses to think. He simply pauses to drink.
That's right. Also, are you surprised that other major studios may be involved in this, considering what happened with Warner Brothers and HBO Max?
Not surprised at all.
And Nolan was like, that is simply not cinema.
Do you think he's going to bring back the characters from Dunkirk?
Yes. I mean, probably not.
No, not at all.
Crossover movie?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
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 So now you've always said, and you will not step down from this.
They're like, Tom Hardy, you want to drop that atomic bomb? And he's like, no. I disagree with it fundamentally and also because of all the traumatic stuff that happened in the previous movie, Dunkirk.
Yes.
I won't do it. Also, maybe I died. I think I lived, though.
I think you lived. I think I got captured at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm free, but I won't drop that bomb, baby.
I won't do it. I won't do it.
I won't drop that bomb, baby, and that's the T-shirt.
So what was I going to say? I can't remember. So you've always...
What about he comes back as the Kray twins?
Fine.
And he's like,
you seen that movie?
I haven't got any opinion on dropping an atomic bomb.
I do. I'm the other creator in. We speak different, we. Different, we. That's how they talk.
That's how they talk, yeah.
So you always say, and you were right about Dunkirk, that he was going to work in some time-bending element. And I'm like, he can't because it is a purely historical account of the movie movie and real-life event Dunkirk.
But then I said, ha, history, pastimes, checkmate.
Exactly, and you got us because there is time-bending elements of that movie. Are they going to work that into this? And I don't just mean like flashbacks or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean like literal playing with time
and
dimensions and stuff or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe he's got all that out of his system.
It seemed like, he put a lot of it on the page in the last one, didn't he?
He sure did.
I paused on because I took a drink. So, yeah. Do I have to tell people that?
I mean, you saying that you've paused to take a drink really raises questions about whether or not you take time to think.
That is true.
So.
Yeah. So you're going to say no this time around.
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, physics is involved.
Yes.
So I can't rule it out.
I mean, do you think it's going to be historically accurate?
I think I would have to see the trailer. But I think for Dunkirk, I saw the trailer and I went, time, there is some.
There was a ticking clock.
Yeah, there was time involved. So I think I'd have to wait for the trailer before I say that definitively. But I think there might be some, there will certainly be some lofty talk about time and physics, I think.
Okay.
I had to guess.
Wow.
Yeah. That's right.
Bold, Mason.
I'll commit to that bold statement, that bold, vague statement.
That's why people like you, Mason.
No one likes me.
Forward.
You're right. I'm man enough to admit it.
Aquaman.
That's why they tolerate me.
Aquaman 2.
Yeah. We got big news.
Few images.
Big Patrick Wilson.
That's right. We've got abs all around, aren't
we? How old he?
50-ish? 49?
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's looking great.
He's Hollywood. Yeah. That's what happens when you're in Hollywood. I still love that tweet where someone's like, this guy's like in every big movie, but he absolutely refuses to be famous. Right. And he's like, you got me.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this will change though because he's got the rig.
Yeah, but he's also got the beard. Oh, what are we talking about? We should explain what's happening.
We've seen some. We've seen two exclusive set photos. And by exclusive, I mean everybody's seen them.
Yeah.
I didn't know where the sentence was going when I said exclusive.
Mm.
So that's how it came out like that.
Yeah, yeah. You were taking a drink.
I was actually taking a drink. We saw Patrick Wilson, Orm, from the first movie. He's not in his regal garb anymore. He's not with his smooth, slick hair.
No, no, no.
And his smooth, slick, dolphin-like body. Oh, he's still got that. But he's like on a beach. He's shirtless. He's wearing like raggy trousers.
I'm going to look this up.
And he's got a big beard.
Yep.
And he's got a great. He's been working out.
Always been fit. I think for Watchmen, he put on like some weight.
That's probably what I'm thinking.
He generally looks. I'm looking at him here. Mm-hmm. Incredible. What an incredible man.
Yeah.
And seems nice by all accounts.
Yeah.
So there you go. And the other image, of course, is of Jason Momoa. Well, there's two. Mm. We see him in his original Aquaman garb.
The golden suit.
Which I quite like.
I like it too.
And then we see him in his Batman Forever-esque stealth suit. Which I don't know I like that as much. Yeah. What do you think?
People have compared it to he had a suit in the 90s that was sort of like...
Totally, yeah.
Sort of two-color blue, like blue and navy blue kind of look. I don't think that's a deliberate homage. I think they just went, let's give him a stealth suit.
Yeah. Actually, looking at it now, it's actually pretty good.
I love the idea that, like, obviously, it'll probably have a helmet on it, or it'll be stealth in the sense that it's, you know, projects a image or it projects
of a stealth fighter jet.
A signal or something, yes.
A stealth fighter jet.
A stealth fighter jet, yes. Just a picture of it underwater. And the villains are like, I don't even understand this. I've got to switch to decaf.
It's based on.
I'm going to switch to ocean decaf.
How do they drink ocean coffee?
From an ocean keep cup.
Oh.
Yeah. But I like to think, James, in lieu of having a helmet or any of that or the projecting of the images or the sonar defeating or whatever, his body just turns invisible and his head is just floating. It's like, oh, my God, it's Aquaman's head. It's coming at me at incredible speeds.
It says that James Wan says that the Atlantean tech is based on the cephalopods' camouflaging ability.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go. We'll see that movie when it comes out, whenever
that is. So there probably will be a helmet then.
I guess so. Do you think it'll do the clickety-clack Iron Man?
It'll do the clickety-clack Iron Man thing, yeah.
I want to see him put on a helmet.
I don't want that at all.
Squeeze it over his dome.
Smush his beard in?
Yeah.
You'll have to put it on and then the beard's still hanging out.
Exactly.
Smudge it all in.
Anyway, let's see it. Let's do it. That movie, that is.
If you're a bearded man in the current era, you have to, you learn.
You've got all sorts of tricks, don't you?
You're going to smudge it in.
Do you ever use a rubber band to tie your beard up?
I've thought about it. But now what I do, I think I admit, I
is it quite long enough for that? It's long, but could you get it all?
Like a few weeks ago I was, but I gave it a bit of a trim. Yeah. But now I put on regular mask and then I put on like the Bushranger Gator kind of mask over the top of that. So I don't look so ridiculous.
And you look cool?
I mean, somebody would say I look more ridiculous. But
yeah, I'd say that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the honesty.
All right, what do we got next? What do we got next, Mason?
I don't know. You've got the list.
I'll tell you.
Okay, great.
So this is from Leslie Grace.
Put it up on the big board, James.
Here we go. I'm using a Minority Report style sweep.
Yeah, if we could replace this sort of Formica table here with like a hologram table and then a hologram wall and we can like fling stuff into the wall, that'd be cool.
It would just be like a Google Doc that I'm putting up there as well.
And it'd come out weird and like half would still be on the table and half would be on the wall. But like this is the best we could do, to be honest.
But it's Leslie Grace, who's the new Batgirl, says that Batman is not in her movie, but she said she'd love to work with Margot Robbie to get her involved.
Nice.
I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, whether she probably believes that, but I don't know whether Margot Robbie is going to be in it or not.
Sure,
my point. So there you go. No Batman. Not surprising, because who is even Batman at the moment? I don't really know.
Nobody knows officially.
Is it Patterson? Is it Affleck? Is it Keaton? Or is it Kevin Conroy?
Might be Kevin Conroy.
Don't know. So there you go. Trailers ahoy, Mason. The big trailer of the week. Actually, there's a lot of big trailers this week.
Yeah.
This is probably the biggest, I guess. The Matrix Regulations.
I laughed there because I thought you were going to do one of your famous zig versus zag situations.
Oh, I was going to say like,
It's a Netflix kids movie or whatever.
Do you want to do the Netflix one? Don't Look Up.
Sure,
let's do that first.
That's still a big movie, though.
I agree.
Yeah.
So it's DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And it's
Jonah Hill,
and it's Jennifer Lawrence, and it's directed by Adam McKay.
Yeah.
People would know most famously for Old School.
There we go. He's done it.
He didn't direct that.
The Big Short.
Yes, but he also did like Anchorman and a bunch of other stuff. But now, more recently, he's been doing serious things. Like he did Vice.
Mm.
He was the producer on Hansel and Gretel: Witch Hunters 2, which is in production. So there you go. There's some other things that he's done also. Yeah.
So what is this about? It's Leonardo DiCaprio, some sort of very anxious man.
Yep. A comet is speeding towards Earth. You know, it's a great movie.
What's that?
Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
I watched that. I watched it recently, and then I've just been watching clips of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just a very good movie.
What's interesting, I don't know if you remember this, maybe a couple of months ago, it was revealed that the guy, Frank Abagnale Jr., who...
He got to grab that gym for the show.
Did he? Wow. Yeah.
And he maybe also took my wallet. I don't know how it works.
Right. Well, it turns out that most of what he told in his autobiography probably isn't true at all.
Oh, really?
Like in addition to – like people are like, well, he was a con man and he did all this sort of stuff. But it turns out like a lot of the stuff that he said couldn't have been true for a variety of reasons. And apparently they've also – like various skeptics have been calling him out for decades. Like since the first couple of like times he – in the 60s or the 70s when he's like, I did this. But the people are like, no, you didn't. And there's like news articles about it. But he just sort of pushed through. And,
really?
Yeah. And like the idea of him.
The ultimate con.
Yeah. The idea of him sort of doing this stuff was so sort of thrilling that people were willing to look past all the.
Yeah.
So apparently, it's just been a career of lies. So.
That's hilarious. Whatever.
Also probably a bad bloke, but you know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I retract the thing. I did grab that gem.
But we will not.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I agree.
So it's about a comet is speeding towards Earth and they're the people that know. But of course there is a lot of misinformation and disbelief surrounding the whole situation. And it reminds me a little bit of the movie, of the movie Armageddon.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in that, a comet was also speeding towards Earth. And Ben Affleck had to shoot it out of space using mining equipment.
That's right.
God damn that movie. Mm. It absolutely rocks, Mason, if you don't mind me saying so.
Is that a little pun?
Sure. The Matrix.
Well, then here's a little applause for you.
Thank you. The Matrix, we're back.
That's right.
A Dinosaur Story. What do you think?
I'm loving it. It's looking good. I mean, well, here's the thing. It's looking – and for people who are out there who are like – well, James already did a trailer breakdown on this.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Are we gonna still talk about this in painful length? Yes, we are.
Yes,
I'm talking to you, the listener, and also you, James.
Yep,
the person who did the trailer breakdown.
And we've also talked about it in real life. And there's also another video where we talk about it, which is also coming up.
Yeah,
but we're going to do all of it again.
Here we go.
Yeah.
First thoughts. My money is on 50% of the shots in the trailer being for a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
And 50% of the shots, I mean, it's all in a movie, James, but 50% of the shots are like the real world in that movie.
Yeah.
And 50% of the shots, I think, are part of a movie about the Matrix. Because as the guy at the end says, whose name I cannot recall, the guy, he's like an executive guy and he's smooth and he's slick.
Jonathan Groff,
he's like, we're going back to the Matrix, baby. I'm pretty sure that this is going to be about Thomas, maybe Anderson, maybe something else, and he created a movie called The Matrix, starred in it, and nostalgia's coming back, so we're bringing back The Matrix.
That's right.
And as I think I said on the upcoming video, if you were the machines and you were trying to convince everybody within a simulation that they were not in a simulation, you'd create a movie called The Matrix in which everybody is trapped in a simulation. So when somebody says, hey, I think we're all trapped in a simulation by machines that have turned us into batteries, people would say, yeah, like The Matrix, the movie we've all seen. You're just thinking of The Matrix, right? But then in the future, as the machines, you might be like, hey, people have forgotten The Matrix and they're starting to think we're in a simulation again.
Yeah.
Let's do a Matrix sequel, and then those people we've seen as deranged again.
Do you think also within the world of The Matrix, where they're releasing Matrix movies, do you think they have a problem with maybe the sequels not hitting as well and franchise fatigue?
Oh.
So they're like, we have to get the word out there of the Matrix so people don't think they're in a Matrix. But people aren't responding at the box office to our Matrix movies anymore.
Yeah.
Like, ideally, these
and
would
be And we invented this pandemic, so people aren't going to the movies. We shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have done it. Big mistake. Yeah. We can't.
Ideally, you know, it would be the biggest franchise in the world. But these Marvel movies we also make are bigger, you know? Maybe they didn't even talk about the Matrix.
What we should do is we should talk to some people on YouTube to make video essays about our previous movies, bring them back to the public consciousness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I agree. Because I think – I remember they've talked about things being meta and it's going to be, you know, levels of
– And again, I really want this to be good, but I wonder if the director and producers of this movie, if their feelings about meta have not evolved with – the world's feelings of meta, like they might be like, well, what if this is a, like, I want to be impressed and blown away, but what if they're like, what if
I want to be underwhelmed?
What if actually the Matrix they make a movie in the Matrix, but they're actually in the Matrix, but they make a movie about the Matrix? Then people will be like, we've discussed this for 20 years. This is not mind boggling anymore. Like, that's my fear. I think is they throw this out there like it's a, and it'd be interesting to see it on screen and like everybody's theories about that and everybody's ideas put into the big screen with, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and et cetera. But at the same time, it would be a case of, we've already, like...
But would most people have thought that? Because most people probably aren't watching, like, video essays on
That's Matrix, probably true,
And they probably also haven't played The Path of Neo where you fight Seraph. And then while you're fighting him in the background, the scene where you're fighting Seraph is playing in a movie theater.
Yeah, that's
true. There's a guy watching it and he's like, what's going on here? This is real life or whatever.
Yeah. But speaking of, we do get literally... There's a scene in the trailer where the police are shooting at somebody, and we literally see a scene from the original Matrix on a screen.
But it also looks different, so I wonder whether they've recreated a bunch of those as well.
Oh, you think that's new footage that looks like old footage? Okay.
I might be wrong, but I don't know a lot.
That's true.
Yeah.
Who do you think the purple-haired woman is?
I think she's a resistance fighter, and I think also, and I don't know whether it's going to be her, one of the resistance fighters is going to be trans, as in like in the real world.
Oh, interesting.
That'll be different. I don't know that,
yeah.
But I think that is something that they would want to work in.
Do you think this woman is related to...
That's Neo Jessica Henwick, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think she's related to Neo and Trinity in some way?
Possibly. Mm. Like some kind of relation, public relations expert that they work with.
A public relations expert that they work with,
Yeah, you might be right. Mm. Yeah. Because I also had the theory that the other Morpheus, who's not Morpheus, who apparently he said he's Morpheus on Instagram, might be Morpheus's descendant or son or something.
Because we don't know how far into the future this is set.
Yeah,
it could be set hundreds of years after the previous movies, perhaps.
Could be set mere moments.
Yeah, but as I have said, I think it's also possible he's like a cosplayer, or he's the guy in the Matrix movies. Like he's the actor that portrays Morpheus in the Matrix movies. Or he's like a guy, like he's like a Disneyland style character. You know, you meet at a Disneyland and you pose with the pills or whatever.
Shake the hand.
Yeah. Or a guy on like this Hollywood strip or whatever who's like.
Well, then if he's one of those guys, he should look more like Morpheus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
The suits should be closer.
Yeah.
More purple. Was it a purple shirt and a snakeskin jacket or whatever?
Yeah.
I am a bit disappointed if Lawrence Fishburne is not in this at all.
Okay.
You know, but he might be.
Yeah.
So, we'll
see. I mean, he's certainly not averse to working with Keanu Reeves.
No.
Because they were in the John Wick movies together.
They're wicking it up, mate.
They're wicking it up, yeah.
He's the rat king or something.
I had to cycle through in my brain there. He's certainly not averse to working with Neo, Thomas Anderson. Keanu Reeves. Yeah. That's his name.
The guy, whatever his name was in Speed, John or Jack or Jill.
Yeah.
Jack Speed. There we go. I don't have much else to say, but again, we've got videos and you should check it out. But you also thought that some of it doesn't quite look good or finished or...
Well, I think I mean, that's based on... That is the basis of my theory that most of this is in... Like most of this trailer is... The action stuff is... It's the movie, The Matrix, within this world.
Yeah.
Like where it's a fictional... movie, so that's why it doesn't quite look right.
Yeah, fair enough.
But maybe that's just the visual style now.
I love visual style.
But I mean,
it's also a different Matrix. The Matrix. It's not the green one. It's the new glowy nice.
It's the glowy nice one, which is like that opening shot of a nice.
Mm.
I think it's the psychiatrist's house.
Yeah, we saw it at the end of the last one.
Yeah, I think those tie together probably. Yeah.
Oh, the Matrix.
Hugo Weaving's not coming back for this?
No, he couldn't do it, apparently. But then again, maybe he's in it.
Maybe he's in it. There we go.
If they do another one, he'll definitely return.
You think
if
so?
He's not in this one. Yes. He also likes them. Mm. So, you know, he doesn't like Transformers. Yeah. We talked about that. It's like, I hate these movies and they pay me a lot of money. Michael Bay's like, well, I'll replace you. All right, man.
Okay. I've done 5 or 6 of them. I'm fine with not doing another one. Like, that's not like that threat only works if you are so addicted to millions of dollars. And you're like, no, I've only made $10 million from this. I can't not make another $5 million from this. Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, no.
My Ferrari collection isn't complete. What'll I do?
He wouldn't have a Ferrari collection, would he?
No, I don't think he would.
He'd probably drive a Toyota Corolla.
Probably drive a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Next up, we have, if you've got no more thoughts, Mason, feelings.
I've got no more thoughts or feelings, okay. So I'm out for the rest of the episode.
Excellent. Can I get a completely analytical and non-emotional response to the Spider-Man 2 trailer for PlayStation 5 exclusive?
Looked pretty good.
So this time around,
yes,
we see that, I think it's, did they say 2023? I think they said 2023.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
So we see that both Spider-Mans, I still got to finish Miles Morales. I'm too busy being, I've been sidetracked by a bunch of other shit I've had to do for Caravan of Garbage.
Playing much worse games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not, I stopped before that. But
they've got new suits, it looks like. Slight redesign, slight tweaking. I think some color tweaks here and there. Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Mm.
He's got the Iron Spider arms. Is that new?
That's in the first game.
Is it?
I think. Right, yeah. I'm pretty confident.
Okay, right.
Oh, you get it. You get it as like an upgrade.
Oh. Very good.
And so they're working together, beating up peeps. And then who do we see up here? But Venom. One, Jason Venom.
Mr. Venom.
Yeah.
Vinny Venom.
But which Venom is it? Because if you haven't played the first game, so spoiler alert, skip ahead, it's revealed that Harry Osborn is alive and is in some kind of stasis tank and he's wrapped in the Venom symbiote.
Yeah, so it's probably him. Maybe.
Or it could, or whatever else.
Yeah.
I think they're probably going to do the other version. I'm not saying, I think it'll tie in, but I think they'll do the Eddie Brock version.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Because again, the problem always with bringing in Eddie Brock as Venom as an antagonist of Spider-Man is if you don't, the origins sort of have to tie together.
Yeah.
And if you don't build the backstory of Eddie Brock, it was like a rival photojournalist to Peter Parker and then he's uncovered as a fraud, and he hates Spider-Man, and the Venom symbiote hates Spider-Man because you know, Spider-Man, you know, got rid of him and et cetera, and then they combine and they become the ultimate sort of vehicle of hating Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, Venom's not that interesting.
But
in
I
my
think
opinion.
You could skip a bunch of that, and at the start, Eddie Brock's already fired.
Oh, yeah,
maybe. Because you know, they, in the first one, jumped ahead, he was like 23 or
that's
whatever.
That's true, yeah, I guess so.
So I think it could be like a thing that already happened. And maybe he starts with the black suit, or he'd already jettisoned it.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So if you wanted to skip a bunch of that, you
could. I mean, if you add in flashbacks, I think, exactly. You know, that would totally work. But just if he shows up and he's like, I'm Eddie Brock and I'm going to kill you, Spider-Man.
No, you can't
I'm like,
do
well,
that.
I don't. Well, then you're just the same as every other.
Mm.
But if you know, Harry Osborn.
And yeah, exactly.
Legit reasons for hating Spider-Man.
And the good thing as well for these series of movies, series of games. Games, Mason.
James, one
games.
Day you'll uncover the difference between the two.
They're not tied to anything, so they do their own continuity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not even tied to that terrible Avengers game.
That's true.
Which every now and then people are like, give it a chance. I won't.
You should play it now because they're definitely going to add Spider-Man DLC to it.
Oh, yeah.
Real
when's
soon,
that coming?
Nah,
I still won't play it. I'll just play that good Spider-Man game, the two that I have.
I'll probably watch somebody do a playthrough of the Spider-Man stuff on YouTube.
Yeah,
if
probably
it ever
do
comes
that
up.
Too. I'll do an ad for it.
But also we get a voice of someone who is a mystery man, but who is definitely Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, interesting.
Right.
So Kraven symbiote man? Are we going to get Spider-Man black suit buried in a grave by Kraven escape something, something, something?
Maybe. I mean, you know, the beauty of this sort of game as opposed to the movies is if they want to do...
Is the graphics.
The graphics
the
are good.
The graphics.
And then when you kick a guy off a roof and is he dead? He's probably not dead. But then that web's going to dissolve and he will be dead.
He'll die.
But also, I guess we do... Like, if they want to devote 8 hours to, you know, maybe the Venom symbiote escapes from the tank with Harry Osborn and then it attaches itself to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then you have adventures with Spider-Man, then it turns out the symbiote, you don't want it, and then you get rid of it, and then it goes back to
whatever
Harry Osborn and they both want revenge and blah, blah, blah. There's time to do that.
Yeah, you could absolutely
there's time
it.
To build that in.
You could make a 40-hour game.
Yeah.
Exactly. My question is for you. Do you think this is a chance that this could be a co-op game and not just you players, either Miles or Peter, depending on the level?
I hope so.
I would love that. Imagine if you could play through that city together as two different Spider-Man. And I feel like the PlayStation 5, graphically and processing units wise, it is quite a powerful system and I'm happy to endorse it.
There you go.
I don't have one.
Do you think it would?
I'll get one for this,
would
though.
Would it be online co-op? Would it be
split-screen co-op? Don't know.
Yeah,
hopefully both.
Yeah.
But
I cannot wait for we're playing it and you go off in one part of the city. And I'm like, oh, James, I can't catch up. Hang on. And
Have you played it?
Yeah, both of them, yeah. The split screen splits and then it just keeps getting further and further away. And we can feel the PS5 whining and its smoke starts coming out. It's like, you're too far away. I'm trying to render both. I'm trying to render two completely different parts of the city. I can't do this. James, wait up.
What do I do?
I forgot what button web is. Which button's web?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it would have to be over LAN networks or whatever.
Yeah, bring the LAN parties back.
Yeah. So anyway, looks really good.
If that is the case, would it be narratively you've got to team up, or would it be just for like if you want to run around the city and beat up bad guys? Because like if you don't have like if you don't have a co-op partner readily available, what does the other guy do?
Yeah.
Do you get an AI partner? Because that can be annoying. Because sometimes you get an AI partner that's really dumb.
I feel like they could do it well if they did do it. And I guess it would also change levels depending on like if you're stealthing in a building and there's two of you.
Yeah.
That could not work very well necessarily. You'd have to build the whole game around it.
Well, exactly,
much
more complicated. And I you know, the last two were great. I enjoyed them a lot.
Yeah.
I got a PS4 for Spider-Man, original Spider-Man. So, I think you would have to, because the problem with the AI companions is usually either they're really dumb and they just get stuck in walls or they can just go and do everything and you can just sit back and it just solves all the problems for you.
It's a hard balance,
It is a hard balance, but I think if it's Insomniac, right, I think they could probably take care. If anybody could do it, they could do it. So.
Or us.
Yeah, give it to us.
Speaking of something they can
do. I'll be there in the studio being like, just don't, make sure they don't get stuck in walls.
Ah.
He's near a wall, you're fired. Or crunch. Or crunch.
I'm announcing it.
Mm-hmm.
They also announced all
or illegal crunch.
No
everybody
pay.
Recording me saying this. I'm a bad boss.
So, they also announced it's at Insomniac Wolverine for the PlayStation 5 with a cinematic trailer.
Not in-game footage, as it was very...
Turns out. I don't think it'll look that dissimilar, though.
No, I don't think so either.
Because the Spider-Man game on PS5 in-game stuff is it's really incredible.
Yeah.
It's in the very early stages of development, but these people over at Insomniac have been working hard. It's
probably because I don't sleep much.
Probably that. They put out these
because of the crunch!
Crunch! Two Spider-Man games. Mm-hmm. They also did that recent Ratchet O'Clank one or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're working on another Spider-Man game and a Wolverine game, which is mechanically would be entirely different. You have to build a completely different world around Wolverine.
No, I think he just did the same New York City.
He's just running.
He's just running around on the ground, catching cabs, and occasionally you have to very slowly go up a building. So slowly.
Yeah, it's like where would you set it? Would you set it as like a
Orleans swamp?
Sure. Yeah. Or would you do like a narrative focused single player campaign where it's not an open world?
Yeah, good question.
Or do you do a Wolverine open world game?
Because it's very tempting to go, oh, yeah, just make it an open world. But that only works with a character like Spider-Man because you can leap across the whole city and swing super fast. And
it seems like with the Ratchet and Clank game, which I haven't played, but yeah, that is a single player game where you're going through levels. And I'd imagine they're probably going to do something like that. Or like they did with Wolverine on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
That one that we played, you know, the Hugh Jackman one. That's quite good. Mm.
Yeah, maybe something like that. You could provide him some fast travel stuff, give him a motorbike or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do it like, what's it called? The Days Gone, where he's got a motorbike.
But I guess you could, like, if you just went, okay, well, we'll put him in a different city and it's basically the same as Spider-Man, people would be like, okay, more of the same, really?
Yeah.
That's what you're just resting on your laurels kind of thing. I think you're right, it'll probably be like a smaller scale thing. Like
maybe a hub world.
Yeah, hub world. You're fighting your way through buildings as opposed to fighting your way through a city kind of thing.
It could be like a God of War thing.
Yeah.
Have you played God of War yet?
Yes.
Yeah, where, you know, it's like a sort of expansive connected universe. Or like Jedi Fallen Order as well. Mm. Anyway, good.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick of there not being comic book video games, and also when there are, they're bad.
But they are.
There was kind of like movie-based ones and they weren't great, and then they kind of went away.
Yeah.
And then the Arkham games kind of kept these alive. And
now of course, we want microtransactions, right? And loot boxes.
Yes, Mason!
Want all that? Yeah. Well, we want to slash open a loot box.
That's the thing about like these exclusives is we've talked about this before, but they're console sellers. Mm. Like, for example, you bought.
I did. I bought
and
a
PS4. I bought for Arkham, even though that was microtransaction. I bought a PlayStation 4 for the last Arkham game.
Yeah, right.
So they don't need to put microtransactions in any of this. You can just unlock all the suits and the gadgets and levels and whatever, and it's cool.
How about this?
I'm ready.
Is he chopping limbs or is he not chopping limbs?
I've just realized I'm not ready.
Yeah, see? Right.
You'd have to have him chopping limbs. I also think it'd be connected. I think they're building their own universe.
Oh.
Aren't you excited?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's talk about God of War Ragnarok.
Okay, great.
Did you ever finish God of War?
I did finish God of War.
Great game.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah.
Happy with it?
Yes, I liked it. I was ultimately happy with it. I did not return it to my local game store after spending 8 months finishing it.
You didn't? So,
no.
It's unlike you.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be a PlayStation 4 and...
Hello. I understand the video game store that once stood here is no longer in business and you are now a car park, but I would like my money back for God of War. Yes, I did finish it. Yes, I will take it in 50-cent pieces. Thank you.
So this is also going to be on the PlayStation 4. It's going to continue the story. And the big thing that people have been talking about.
Big Thor. Big indeed.
Big old Thor. It's a different design. People are calling him, you know, he's like Fat Thor. But I think like a lot of the times Thor isn't. It's just whatever. There's been many interpretations.
Well, exactly.
Of Thor,
I mean, the modern day one is sort of, you know, that's Marvel's interpretation where he's always been big and strong, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, abs and you know.
They've also got go on.
Well, I was going to say the in God of War, the axe you have, the returning axe, Frostborn, one of those
frost giant,
frosty. It was forged by the same people who made Thor's hammer.
Ah, right,
So he's always been in the universe, I guess. And I guess in previous games, has he fought the Norse gods?
No.
He hasn't?
Just this one.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he was just killing Greek gods. He's just going to work his way through all the gods until he gets up to the guy who made Scientology.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Exactly, thank you.
It's Xenu, but L. Ron Hubbard's. It's one of those combined bosses. It's Xenu, and then L. Ron Hubbard's on his shoulders. Get him, Xenu!
Get him! So it also introduces Thor's brother, Tyr.
Tyr?
Tyr.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's like 9 feet tall, who's also the god of war in the Nordic.
Yeah, right.
Universe,
okay. Oh, God of War really versus God of War versus God of War.
Yeah. Or maybe they're working together.
Oh, maybe.
For a bit. Then he has to slam his head into a chest or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, looking forward to it. I really liked the original ones. Like, I played through them. But there's just a level of depth and polish and storytelling that new one did that it just supersedes everything that came before it.
It's a nice dad story as well.
It's a good dad story. And one shot, Mason.
Well, I was going to say that. Do you think they'll continue that on? They'd have to, right?
Have to.
So the game is, from your perspective, there's never any there's never any
load
cutaway.
Screens.
There's never any load screens or cutaway. So it always looks like you are playing the one single thing.
So whenever you're in an elevator or squeezing through a crevasse, just know there's a level just loading just past that. So very exciting. They also announced a Knights of the Old Republic remake for the PlayStation 5.
Ooh.
Not like they'll reskin the original.
Yeah, but a full remake.
Yeah. I've never played this, so this will be my first. This will be my introduction.
I haven't played it either.
Finally, Lucasfilm are listening to the true fans. Mm. Me about this game I've never played.
That's right.
You know?
Did you ever play Quake?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I never got into it.
Isn't Quake coming back?
Yeah,
not a lot.
It came back. There's a high-res remake that's out now, I think. Oh. Or out very soon. Yeah.
Cool, okay. Yeah.
Never really got into it.
It's called Shiny Quake? I was more Doom and Wolfenstein the Jedi Knight games than Quake.
Quake was always a bit too brown for me.
It's a very brown game.
Yeah.
But it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That was after their Doom thing. They went, we're going 3D.
Yeah, and I think it was from a technical perspective, I think it was supposed to be better, but it never had as much character as
Doom.
I didn't think so.
And I think you're limited by the bad guys were very, like, blocky. But, you know, it was very impressive for the day.
Yeah.
Maybe I was playing the game Hexen instead.
Were you playing Hexen?
Yeah. Were you playing the game Hexen?
I played the game Hexen.
Yeah. Did you play the game Heretic?
Yes, because that was the game that came before Hexen.
Yes, Mason.
God.
I didn't know whether it was before or after.
It was before. It was Heretic.
I know.
And then it was Heretic 2.
Hexen.
And Hexen.
Did you ever play Duke Nukem 3D?
Yes, I played Duke Nukem 3D.
He had a jetpack, Mason.
I know, James. Did you play Duke Nukem Planet of the Babes, James?
No.
It was a spin. I don't think I played it. I think it was an expansion.
Did you play Duke Nukem?
No, one did.
Yeah. Duke Nukem Forever. So there you go. Good. Knights of the Republic. Good stuff. Next up, we've got a trailer, if you don't mind us leaving the world of video games, Mason.
I guess so.
For Star Trek Picard.
Yes.
They confirmed season 3, but this is for season 2. You gave it a look-see just before the show.
I gave it a look.
Ooing and ahhing.
I was ooing and ahhing.
You ran in a circle.
They're like, they're bringing back all the stuff that people remember and like.
Yes.
Because they didn't really do that in the previous one. Oh,
they sort of did.
They brought back Data. They brought back Data. They brought back Raka.
Yep.
They brought back Seven of Nine.
Yep.
But in this one, they're like, "You remember Q? Q's coming back.
Yep.
Hey, we're doing a mirror universe esque thing. Hey, Borg Queen, you remember the Borg Queen? We're gonna go back in time, and guess what? We're in the present day. It's Star Trek 4, baby.
They've done it again.
Star Trek 4.
So, a couple of things. What do you think about bringing back the Borg Queen?
Good, great.
Is she only in the movie, or does she show up in the show as well?
I think she shows up. She doesn't show up in Next Generation.
Yeah.
But the Borg Queen, I think, was a creation for Star Trek 8. So, First Contact.
Yes.
One with
That's what I mean. Is she in anything else but First Contact?
I think she might be in some subsequent TV shows, but I don't know for sure. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I asked if it was the same Borg Queen. It's not. It's a different actor.
It's a different actor, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Time travel is mentioned.
Yes.
Mirror universe where Nazis or whatever, I guess.
Yeah, but not real mirror universe.
Nobody's
got a goatee.
Do you think it is? But it is like an alternate reality, right? It's not like an illusion that he's cast.
Well, I guess it must be because they have to go back in time to fix it.
Yeah.
If it was an illusion, they would just solve his riddle.
Yeah.
Or they'd be like, actually, Picard would do a speech
about
how
something, something.
Exactly, and then Q would be like, oh, okay, and then he'd snap his fingers and it'd be back to normal. So I guess he has altered the timeline.
But this time, Picard's like, I've had enough of this fucking guy. What? It's Swear Trek. So he's had an absolute gutful. They're obviously going back to the year 2019 for a couple of reasons. A, it's cheaper because you don't have to pick up time period where you have to recreate everything.
That's right.
And B, as you pointed out, no COVID.
Yeah.
You do 2020 or 2021 even.
Yeah,
you
got to do COVID. Very awkward. Cover up those beautiful faces.
That's right.
Looks fun. I'm into it, I think.
Yeah, I get a better vibe than I did. I didn't really like that last season much at all.
How do you think the mirror universe works? Not this one, but the mirror universe generally.
What do you mean? Like, why is it
the
way it is?
Because what happens every time they go into the mirror universe, they meet their mirror universe counterparts.
Yep.
But if the timeline has changed, if the timeline changed in the past, then why would their counterparts necessarily exist at all? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
right?
Well, I guess the idea from Mirror Universe is that...
Does the Mirror Universe get created every time you go to the Mirror
Universe? Maybe that's it. Or maybe they think that when they come out. I mean, there's probably like infinite possibilities, right. But that's the one that's closest.
Yeah, because like the Mirror... Because like if the Mirror Universe was created just prior to, say, the original series of Star Trek, it would make sense that it'd be a Kirk and an evil Kirk.
Yeah.
But like if you go... 100 years into the future, why is there a good Picard and an evil Picard?
Yeah.
Maybe one of them wouldn't exist, right? Evil Picard might not exist because of evil universe.
You might be right.
Does anyone have any explanation for that? You don't.
No. And you know how you're like, how does it work?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It doesn't work at all. It's true. It doesn't work at all, yeah.
Yeah. Here's something that might work, our last trailer, before we get off the good ship trailer. Oh, trailers ahoy.
Yes. Before we finally scuttle that ship, we run it aground.
We find port.
No, we're crashing the ship.
Okay, we're crashing it. Yeah. Good.
Wait, before we block the Suez Canal with the good ship trailers ahoy.
Injustice got all like a very short 1 minute animated trailer.
Yeah,
I might actually watch this one. I haven't been watching any of the animated stuff for a long time. Though apparently Long Halloween's very good.
Oh,
the 2-part one that they've done.
I see.
So I might watch that one first. But yeah, Injustice. They're doing Injustice, and why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not, Mason?
Well, because they already did the comic book. And the video game is actually quite long, has a lot of story to it. So
here's a question for you, though.
Go on.
In the Mirror Universe,
yes.
Why do they have goatees? What's the thinking behind that? Is it a status symbol?
Because they're so cool, James.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so follow-up question.
Go on.
In this animated movie, do you think they're going to bring in the good Justice League characters or like the comic? Mm. Are they going – because the comic, for the most part, until it hits the game,
it's just the evil universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, good question. I think it'll just be the evil team.
Yeah. Until they do sequels or whatever.
Yeah, and then it'll, yeah.
Terrific.
Terrifico.
Should we, Mason, bring
up... the ship aground? Here we go.
Let's go. Let's crash. Let's kill ourselves.
James, no.
No?
No.
Shouldn't do that?
No, we just want to inconvenience people.
Yep.
And everybody loses millions of dollars. That's what we want.
My goodness. Yeah. So I've just opened. Oh my god!
What's happened?
I've just looked at this.
Go on.
Our survey that we've been doing on comic book characters, best TV/films that they are in.
What we believe to be the last couple of episodes, we decided we'd look into and decide what the definitive version of each character is. What movie best represents them?
Yes.
Yeah.
And an absolute madman by the name of
Bill Decker.
Bill Decker. That sounds like a Tim Allen character.
Right?
I'm Bill Decker. I'm guesting on the TV show Home Improvement.
That's right.
Maybe we went to high school together, Tim Allen. I'm Bill Decker.
Sounds like a supervillain with a very specific list of enemies. I'm just going to deck bills. Williams, no, you've got out of this. No.
So he's been running polls.
Yeah.
And essentially...
with the listeners of the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
So we thought we'd go through some of the answers that people had for people's best and worst things.
And boy, he's got... there's pie charts here.
Oh, my God.
There's
percentages.
There's little pictures of us, which I appreciate.
There's graphics.
It's what we said.
Yep.
And then it's a pie chart breakdown of what other people thought.
Yep.
It's really something, let me tell you.
So do you want to just go through some of the main ones, or how do you want to do this?
I reckon we find some that I reckon we go through these and we find some that are very different from ours.
Okay, sure.
And then we're like, "What were you thinking?"
like for example, Superman and Lois, people agreed for the best version of Superman is Superman and Lois.
That's right.
For Captain America, people agreed that the Winter Soldier was the best, though First Avenger quite close behind Mason.
Mm.
Daredevil, everybody thinks Netflix. Here we go. For Hulk, the best version of the Hulk, people agree with you. I'd say the Avengers.
That's right.
But I obviously said The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger's performance alone.
Not as a joke, because you're stupid.
That's right.
And I said, James, think about it. Think about it for one goddamn
second. And I said,
I did
think about it.
Wow.
And I'm stupid, and this is what I think. This is a stupid thing I think.
And I said, well, I can't help you then.
Yeah. Captain Marvel, I wrote The Dark Knight. And I
wrote Captain Marvel in the form of a barcode battler. I don't know what it was, but it was a sort of electronic device, which I think you could get in the 90s.
Yep.
You would scan barcodes and they'd create Pokemon-style characters that you would then battle with your friends.
You'd battle-a them.
Exactly.
But everybody else said Captain Marvel, the movie.
Makes more sense, actually.
Yeah. For Deadpool, we both said Deadpool too, but most people, but not all, it was reasonably close, said the first Deadpool.
And some people said X-Men Origins Wolverine, and I can only assume they were joking.
Who knows? Maybe they're stupid like me.
Maybe.
Ghost Rider, I again said The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger's performance alone. You said Spirit of Vengeance. And most people said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's right.
Which kind of surprised me that you didn't say that, actually. But you love Spirit of Vengeance, don't you?
I do. It's true.
Black Widow, I said The Dark Knight.
I think it's his best traditional looking.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. one is cool.
Yep.
But he's got the more modern look where he looks more like a guy in like a like a porcelain mask that's on fire.
Too true.
Which is cool.
That is cool. For Black Widow, I said The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger's performance alone. You said Iron Man 2, Black Widow or Iron Man 2, but most people said Winter Soldier. So there you go. Everyone says Logan for Wolverine. No arguments there. Everybody says Ragnarok for Thor.
Yep.
Everybody says Winter Soldier for Nick Fury. Everybody says Agent Carter for Agent Carter.
Yes.
First Avenger, very close behind on 172, only 3 points less.
I think I went back and forth on those.
Yeah, that was an umming and ahhing one. Mm. Everybody said Wonder Woman. That's a massive, massive win for Wonder Woman. It's Wonder Woman votes 378 and the next is 15.
Okay, but more importantly, it's a massive loss. For Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A sucky movie that sucked.
Which came fourth with only 4 votes, just above Justice League, who got 3 votes.
Yeah.
Wow, that is brutal. Black Panther. Everybody...
Wonder Woman 1984 only got 3 more votes than haven't seen. So.
Black Panther. Everyone said Black Panther. Mm-hmm. The Crow. Everybody said first of The Crow.
But, boy, there's a lot of answers. There's a lot of...
Yeah, what is going on here?
I don't know.
Why are there so many?
Never seen any of these, haven't seen these, Les Miserables, The Crow Down Under, Now I'm the Crow, Now I'm the Crow.
Ooh.
I've never seen anything The Crow has been in, I Hate the Crow, Game of Thrones, Crow 2 Cruise Control, The Crow Wicked Prayer. That's a real one.
That's a real one. For X-Men, both of us said X-Men 1, but I think I said First Class, didn't I?
Maybe you did.
I don't know, it doesn't matter. Anyway, everyone says First Class.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah. So for The Flash... We said Suicide Squad CCTV, but it's not CCTV, isn't it? It's actual footage, isn't it?
That's true.
But everybody else says the Flash series, which makes sense because...
Do they mean the original series from 1991 or whatever
question.
It was?
Let me check.
Flash series 90s, 2 votes. I'm counting that as an absolute win, James.
Absolutely. Then we've got Catwoman. Both of us said Batman Returns, but everyone else says The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, which I can't really argue with. Fantastic Four, everybody says Silver Surfer. Kingsman, everyone says Kingsman. First Kingsman got 403 votes. Kingsman, The Golden Circle got 3 votes. Brutal. Everybody says WandaVision for Wanda and Vision.
I was going to say Kingsman. Hang on, let me get this. F and hell, I care so little.
Mm-hmm.
none, they're all bad. Okay, so that's good.
Yep, fair enough. For Ant-Man, interesting. We both said Civil War, but everybody else says Ant-Man movie.
Okay.
You get
to see his abs.
That's true.
Or like abs man.
Abs man. Mm. True. But we said it because of the giant man thing, because he does both. Yeah. That's not the only reason. We probably said other things. For The Punisher, we both said Warzone, but everybody else said this Netflix series.
Okay, it's a good show.
Didn't finish, so that's probably correct. For Venom, I said The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger's performance alone, and you said tie between Spider-Man 3 and Venom, and most people said Venom. For Hellboy, most people said Hellboy
2004.
Yeah. No, that says 2014. I think it's supposed to be 2004.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is probably the better answer, if I'm honest. Green Lantern.
Hang on, are any of these personal insults towards us? Let's find out. Hellboy. No.
I haven't seen any of these. Sons of Anarchy. Oh, very good. Injustice 2. Oh, yeah, he's in that. He's in, like, DLC or whatever, isn't he? While you're doing that, Green Lantern.
Yes, go
on. Justice League Animated Series 1, though we said the Snyder Cut. Ninja Turtles. I said the 90s movie. You said the side-scrolling beat-em-up arcade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everybody else said...
Said, 90s, shut up, idiots. That's what they said.
Just below that it says, wow, there have been a lot of Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, that is solid vote, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For Spider-Man, this would be interesting. I said The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger's performance alone. You also said The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger's performance alone. But Spider-Man Homecoming won.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bucky, we all said... Well, we said Winter Soldier, but everyone else said...
The TV series to Captain America, which boys.
Now makes sense. For Falcon, to Captain America's selling a boat scene.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You said Civil War. Everyone agreed with the series.
I said Civil War just because he does the wings.
He's got the wings.
He's got the wings that go around.
Yeah, he's got the wings that go around.
He's a little shield. He's got a wing shield.
It's wings that make the world go around, isn't
it, Mason?
That's
exactly right, yes.
For Harley Quinn, we said the new animated series, as did most other people. Watchmen.
Oh, here's this one's interesting.
The Watchmen one.
Yeah.
Go for it.
The winner was the series.
Yep. But you wrote more like Workman series.
Yeah, that's true. Got him. Got him. I got everyone. But I mean, that's a you know, that's a fairly even.
Yeah.
Fairly decent split there.
Yeah. 79-123. Yeah. Iron Man. I said Iron Woke. You said Iron Bloke. And everybody else said Iron Man.
Okay, great.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
For Robin, I said Titans, a show I haven't seen. You mm-hmm, said sure. Titans, specifically the first season.
Yeah.
And the winner, it's with 69 votes, nice, is The Empty Suit.
In Batman v Superman, yeah. Terrific.
Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody agrees universally, not universally, but pretty solidly that's the first movie. Aquaman.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot to like in that second one.
I completely
what
agree.
Feels,
I think it's very good too. Mm. Aquaman, I said Aquaman, you said Snyder Cut for the sweaters alone. Mm. Everybody else said Aquaman.
What, nobody else is saying sweaters?
Mm.
24 people have said James Cameron's Aquaman starring Vinny Chase. So pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Mm. Loki, I said Ragnarok, you said Wokey.
It sounds like something I would say, sure, yeah.
77 to Ragnarok, but 67 to Loki, the series.
Mm.
Blade, I said Blade, you said Blade, everyone said Blade. Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange.
Everybody said Blade.
Yeah, Doctor Strange, everyone said Infinity War. Supergirl, we all said the series. And the winner for Batman was, I said Batman Begins. You said Batman talking to Bruce Wayne and Gordon on the phone at the same time from the 1960s series.
Yep.
And most people, oh, not most, 54 said The Dark Knight.
Oh, this is really, yeah, this is there's a big spread on this one.
Do you want to read those? Give them a bloody
The winner at 54% was The Dark Knight.
Yep.
Then we got the animated series, which is a very good
series.
Batman Begins, the Lego Batman movie.
It's a good movie.
And then anything where he murders people.
So all of them.
Everything after that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Someone voted Suicide Squad. Madness.
Absolutely insanity. True insanity. So thank you, Bill Decker.
Thank you so much, Bill Decker.
Love the colours.
Love the attention to detail. Yes. Thank you to everybody who voted, but mostly to Bill Decker.
That's right.
Yeah. Any arguments?
If there was
there?
A pie chart
yep.
of who we'd be thanking,
yep.
most of that pie chart would be Bill Decker. He'd get the biggest piece of the pie, and then everybody else get a thin sliver.
What kind of pie is it?
Apple pie.
Okay, can I have ice cream with it?
No.
I'm not really interested.
Okay.
It's all about the balance for me. You know what I mean?
You'd have custard.
Nah, no, wow. I don't want that. I don't want that.
All right.
I don't want that, Mason.
Wow.
Custard is. It's rarely, when it's very good, it's very good.
Mm.
But it's often not that good.
It's very good in this instance, though.
No, thanks.
Okay. If it swings it, the custard is very good, but the apple pie is bad.
That does swing it.
Right?
All right. Dare it, I ask what the next segment is, my
James, it's our very famous segment. Maybe our most famous segment?
Maybe, yeah.
To the extent that any of our segments are famous, which is not at all. But within a select group of people,
yeah,
this is our most famous segment, I think.
Agreed. And it's called,
What Are We Reading?
What Are We Going to Read? And
Jinx. No, you've broken the jinx. It's bad.
You were trying to get me to stop to say Westworld?
I mean, that would have been a fringe benefit, but I just wanted to see if the jinx would work.
Westworld. My computer made a computer noise during that as well, so apologies to everybody.
Apologies for destroying the sanctity of the What We Reading theme.
It's a beautiful segment.
Yeah.
And it's a sacred place. And we played
really
to keep
it
that way.
Yeah.
Well, we thought we'd talk a little bit about Rick and Morty.
That's right.
It wrapped up, for the year. All nine episodes.
That's classic them, isn't it? Nine episodes.
Did they do two together, though, in the last week?
Maybe they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Let's just do spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah.
You can jump ahead if you do want to watch more Rick and Morty.
Now, this season was mostly like, I feel like, not, like as they would say, non-canonical. It was just like individual adventures. It wasn't to do with the... You know, this through line that they've been building, that they've been sort of flitting around in various seasons. But
yeah.
They brought it back for the season finale.
The very, very end.
The evil Morty who is who became the president of the
Citadel of Ricks.
Yeah. He came back and he's like, I'm sick of all these Ricks.
Yeah.
I like it.
And we do get the backstory of Rick.
Yeah.
Which there are other episodes, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah,
but basically, that all the thing about his wife and his child being killed were true. He doesn't have a Morty where he's from.
Yeah, right.
So he's adopted this family, even though it's the second family that he adopted because he just left the other ones in a weird bug dimension or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and they all mutated, yeah. They abandoned them, yeah.
But he also helped build the Citadel and is one of the driving forces behind this evil Morty. And I also liked how Rick is aware that it's got to go eat, it's got to be evil. You know, before they go to meet him, he's like, oh, as soon as it's revealed he's evil, I'm leaving.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But he ends up destroying the Citadel and all of the Ricks and Mortys for the most part, it seems, and escaping into a void dimension something.
Morty does, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where did he go?
Don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the next season, but probably not for a long time. Or
what I think was interesting, I think they're more consistent with it now. I think they got all that out of the way and
they're
moving forward. But what I thought was interesting is they made the characters of Rick and Morty grow together. Like they break them up with the two crows.
Yeah, sure.
And then they bring them back together and they seem to have like an understanding of each other and a mutual respect. And Rick learns that with the two crows.
Yeah, right.
And I think that would be interesting to keep that dynamic going forward.
Yeah.
For at least the time being. Like it doesn't need to be the Simpsons status quo of like Homer's back at the power plant and whatever.
Yeah. You know, did he leave the power plant?
No. But if he does, he goes back.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True. Yeah.
He might be a rodeo clown one week.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
The CEO of Domino's Pizza.
Exactly. So I'd
or he'll meet a celebrity.
Yeah. So I don't know. Would you like that or do you need status quo? What do you need? What would you like? What do you think?
I would prefer. I mean, you know, I like the fact that they've got now got something of a mutual respect. I think I'd prefer the continuity to continue. I want an ongoing growth of these characters because again, you know,
yep.
They're not. You know, they're not a licensed product like a Simpsons or a Marvel character that has to return to the status quo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see more alternate reality Ricks? Or do you think they were all on the Citadel when it was destroyed?
I think that wouldn't there be like an infinite amount or whatever?
Yeah, they probably would be. Yeah.
I'm just looking for I was like, oh, I'll look up the list of episodes for this season, but it doesn't give me any like doesn't normally help.
Yeah, right.
Like by the name it says the first episode was Mort Dinner of Rick Andre.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And it's Mortiplicity. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I know the Rick Vangelion one. There's the Voltron-esque.
Yeah, that are weasels.
Goodfellas episode.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
The only one I really like didn't like was the sperm one. I just thought just like they just went, we've got this dumb idea and we're just committed to it.
Okay.
But everything else I think quite enjoyed.
If Rick and Morty wouldn't exist if they didn't go, we've got some dumb ideas and we're going to
totally. But I just didn't think it was that strong an episode.
Yeah, right. Regardless. Do you think some of this was written by the internet in the sense that they were like, because, you know, Rick's sort of like, oh, okay, we're doing a canonical episode here.
Yeah.
Do you think they were like, well, let's put this storyline to bed.
Yeah.
And we'll do it using theories that the internet created. Because I think a lot of.
Maybe they were always going to do that.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just the internet was good at predicting it because they all, you know, everybody said, okay. The only thing that I think people didn't pick from this episode was that a lot of people surmised that the evil Morty was perhaps the original.
Yeah.
This Rick's original Morty. And then maybe because there's always been a couple of snippets in the opening credits that have never been explained, and they're not from any additional episodes.
Yes.
There is a snippet right at the start where Rick escapes from some like frog monsters, and Morty is left behind.
Yeah,
and it's never been in an episode, and a lot of people are like, well, maybe that's the original Morty.
Yeah,
who was abandoned and then he became evil Morty.
Yeah, but absolutely. It could have been that this version and he went and got him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it could have just been another of the infinite versions, I guess. But yeah, do you think they'll ever explain that? Did they ever do the Cthulhu thing?
Nope, they never explained that either.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, what do we even do about this then?
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
I guess we could riot.
Yeah, let's riot.
Let's go to a fast food restaurant and destroy it.
Let's riot and get upset at all our friends.
Have you watched anything else?
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
Mostly just James Bond games.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes Caravan of Garbage cuts into our
it does.
Our leisure time. But I watched Kate, the Netflix movie with Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Woody Harrelson. She's a hitman or hit person, and she has been poisoned and she's got 24 hours to get revenge.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good brutal action.
I like everybody in that.
Some of the CGI is a little bit ropey. There's a scene where there's sort of a car crash earlier on, and it's very obviously kind of CG. It doesn't look. But for the most part, it's very good, I think.
I had to break this to you, Mason, but the tomato meter for this is 42%.
Don't care.
And the audience score is 62%.
Huh.
So, you know.
Well, then put me with the audience, but better, because okay. I thought it was good.
I really like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. So, yeah. Okay, I'll watch, because I thought it was just like Netflix whatever.
Did you know this, James?
Probably.
Did you know she and Ewan McGregor are a couple and they have a kid?
Yes, I did know that.
I did not know that
they
at all.
They probably met on Fargo. I only knew that recently.
They met on Fargo, apparently. Yeah. And then they were in Birds of Prey together.
Birds of Prey.
Did they have any scenes together? Probably.
Probably?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know anything about Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I'll click on a
I'll Google
page.
Everything about her.
I'm like, there you go.
I'll be her number one fan, you
exactly.
said.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Cool.
Fun.
Fun and cool.
Fun and cool.
Cool, cool, do the cool, next fun segment cool. of the fun, let's cool show letters. That we do?
Let's do the fun, cool show segment.
Agreed.
But let's do letters also.
Yep.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
And now they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Planet Podcast, the show where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is...
What are you doing? What's happened here?
No, this is the letters segment of the show. I was going to see how far I could get before you stop me. Letters, send us a letter, weeklyplanetpod @gmail.com. God,
I have so few regrets in life, James, that one is that I just didn't let you just keep going, see how far you went there.
I thought you meant you'd jump in earlier. Or hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter.
That's right.
Do you have a letter?
I bet
which
I
would
do.
Absolutely blow our minds.
I bet I do.
And in the meantime, do you want me to do a tweet?
Yes, do a tweet.
Okay, this is from Eric, who says, Do you think if Garfield and Maguire aren't in No Way Home, do you think the letdown after all this hype will ruin the movie? Yes.
I think
too many people are committed to, including us, committed to the idea that they're in it.
I think that's a really interesting aspect of like pop culture at this point, that like rumors of something will happen and then it snowballs and then a company realizes that they don't invest $50 million into doing the thing that people want to happen, people will be mad about it. I think if they didn't, in years hence, whatever the movie is, will get a fair shake and people will go, in retrospect, I thought that was pretty good even though
and it
they
was
didn't
unfair
have
it. To blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when it comes out, if it doesn't, oh boy, people will be so mad.
We're going to hear about it.
Yeah. It'll be that case of – it would turn into that thing where, you know, the Snyder Cut thing where – anytime, like Marvel or Disney or any of the executives or anything, they announce anything, or if there's a news report or a tweet or anything, all the comments underneath will be like, why didn't you put in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield? Why didn't you do it?
Exactly.
Well, I bet you still have footage of that. Why didn't you, you know, whatever. And then they'll have to just bring them in to add some scenes into a movie.
I completely agree. Yeah. And look, that is unfair. And I think it's also unfair because Sony and Marvel have never said that they're in it. So
yeah, that's true.
They've never even hinted that. Like, they obviously, they're like Doc Ock is in it and whatever. Mm. But, my God.
But I think
part of me is like, wouldn't it be great if they were in it? Just to see that.
But I think it is fascinating to me that these days they would have to have meetings.
Yeah.
There'd be like a social media guy and he'd go in with the executives and he'd be like, listen, there's been a real uptick in this and we've run the metrics and we've run the stats.
Yep.
And it's going to cost this much if we bring them in, but it's going to cost us this much if we don't bring them in. This is how much revenue we will maybe lose.
Yeah.
So we've just got to do it now.
Just got to do it. Excited?
Yes. And mad. I'm ready to be mad. Here's an email from Shane. He says, g'day, right. mates.
G'day.
Do Australians actually say that?
Yeah.
With Matrix 4, Neo somehow not dead coming out soon, you should do an episode on the best and worst ways to bring someone back from the dead. That's a good idea.
I think we
should do that. I was listening to you explain how fathers survive by holding a baby in their arms while having one earbud in, while I held a baby in my arms with one earbud in. Keep doing what you're doing, Shane. I've chosen this email because do Australians actually say that? Yes, but oftentimes it's hostile.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, give me an example.
Like.
Run a scenario.
Like,
this is a Matrix-esque training
like
scenario.
You're in the pub and like you've got in your drinks and you accidentally elbow a guy and he's like, you're right, mate.
Well, they said mate. G'day.
Well, they also say g'day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I meant more mate.
Are you right, g'day?
Are you having a g'day, mate?
Yeah. No, yeah. I think people use it like
people say g'day. I think a full g'day, mate is quite rare.
No, I do it.
Oh,
I reckon. G'day. What's up?
But you didn't say g'day, mate then.
G'day, mate. What's going on?
That's great.
No, I'm pretty sure I've been to. You say g'day, right?
Yeah, I say g'day.
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 G'day, mate. It's not g'day. It's g'day.
G'day.
G'day. Drunk.
Hey.
Yeah, very good.
Yep.
I've got a tweet here from Rahith who says, Mason, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Go on.
I know you watch Titans.
I do.
So what do you think about the portrayal of Red Hood on Titans? This is a spoiler if people want to jump ahead because I certainly didn't know this, but also I don't care. I can see why some people don't like it, but it's pretty cool. IMO, Jason is a full-on villain now and can't redeem himself, which is cool. IMO.
Ooh.
And new IMO.
Well,
what do you think?
I'll stop you there because it's the end of the email. But also I'll stop you there to say we don't have Titans Season 3 yet in Australia, so I can't know. All I've seen is the trailers.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But
I'm happy to spoil it for you. I honestly thought I wouldn't have read that out if I didn't
know. No, but I knew that. But yeah. I've actually already read that tweet. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was aware of that.
Cool.
Cool. I like it when they take it in a slightly different direction because otherwise – what's the point of doing it in a different medium?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But also, you know, given the soap opera-esque nature of a lot of superhero stuff, there is literally there's nothing that can't be brought, there's nothing that a character can't be redeemed for pretty much. Like even if he's just willy-nilly murdering people, if they wanted to bring him back in the main cast in the next season as a good guy, they just go, a wizard made him be evil for a bit. We figured it out. There was a wizard was there, and he did a magic spell on him.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, but actually, if you take out the wizard factor, he's actually a good guy, so he can be on the team again.
Yeah. Well, that.
Yeah. 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 There's no reason they can't make him a good guy again if they don't want to.
Oh, terrific.
Or they can just go, they brought him back with the Lazarus Pit anyway.
Yeah, 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 whatever. Exactly. Yeah. Do they do clones in that show?
They could.
Yeah, there you go.
Haven't yet, but there's no way to rule it out.
Letter?
This is from Sam. Study buddies.
Just so you know, I've got no more letter after this.
Terrific. Good. I'm sick of your voice.
Oh, no.
I'm sick of it.
Oh, no.
One more word, James, and I jinxed you earlier, and you kept talking. I'm mad about it. Guess what? You're not getting this half a soft drink. You're not getting it.
Can I at least watch Colette cut it with the samurai sword?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Exactly.
Very good.
Okay. Hey, James and Meso, I've been listening to you guys for the last few years. All my study sessions at uni, you guys would be there keeping me company. And even now at my boring desk job, you guys are still keeping me going.
Yay!
Thank you, guys. Love the wit and the banter and keep up the good work. Can I be the official engineer of the podcast? Best Ooh. From Sam. Yes, you can.
Might be a little bit exciting being an engineer at a desk, right?
Right.
Is ever like, these schematics are upside down. We've been building this thing upside down. Has that ever happened?
Yeah. We were building a second leaning tower of Pisa next to the regular one.
We'd be buried it into the earth. It's upside down, leaning tower of Pisa.
Actually, now that I think about it,
you can put them together.
Put them together, and now then it's perfect. They'll stay up forever. Sam, you've done it. You're not fired after all.
Yeah. I saw the leaning tower of Pisa once in person, Mason, because I traveled.
Did you do the thing?
Yeah. Nice. And also I'm like my immediate thought was like, yeah, they fucked this up. Like, this isn't anything.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Because it's a thing that broke. They didn't make it very well. Is that the show?
That's the whole show, folks.
Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up, guys and gals and others.
Yeah.
We did it, everyone. Everyone said we couldn't do it. They said we couldn't do another
Who
episode.
Said?
Of this
Who
podcast.
Said that?
Your wife said it.
Did she?
Yeah, when I came in.
She said, get out of here, Mason.
She's like, you're going to fail at this, making this next episode of your podcast.
What a rude woman.
I know, right?
I don't like that.
No, it's bad.
Yeah.
But, folks, we did it, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. For subscribing. Thank you, everybody, for telling a friend about the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for leaving a nice 5-star review. James, do you have any?
I absolutely can give you a 5-star review. I've just opened them right here. This one's from 541 Red, who says, great hands. Fandom is in great hands by two mates who are great to their fans. Thank you very much. And this one's from EC Recognize, who says, James lied. He said you can leave a 5-star review in app, but that's absolutely not true. It cannot be done. I defy you to prove me wrong. Screenshot your 5-star review or I will not believe it.
Whoa.
Please, if people could do that, that would be great. If you can.
That's right.
Which may not be the case, but it does help the show if you do put in a review.
You can't in Spotify, it turns out. Or maybe you can now. I don't know.
No idea.
But not recently.
I'm only on Spotify for Joe Rogan.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com.
Yeah.
See all the stuff that's going on.
That's
right.
You
can also follow our friend of the show, great editor, great man all around, Rob Collings.
How did
on
you
Twitter.
Do it?
He's at Raw Collings.
Yep.
He's at The Weekly Planet. Please follow him there.
He's doing the What If recaps at the moment, isn't
he? Yeah, that's right.
So there you go.
He's putting the video. He can edit video. He can edit audio. He's editing this audio right now. Good on him. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm Nick Maso, NickMasEAU. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
That's right.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies to chuck in a buck or, in fact, any amount. We definitely appreciate that. But don't if you don't have if you, no, you, if you can't to, or you don't want to, you don't have to.
Don't even trip, dog. what was the what do we put up this week on Big Sandwich?
Oh, you can also go to BigSandwich.co. We've got all sorts of bonus podcasts and early videos and stuff. It's
time capsule.
Might be a time capsule.
I think I'll just have a look.
Okay, terrific stuff. But in the meantime, if you want to get some t-shirts, go to tpublic.com, search for the Weekly Planet, grab one at random, wear it, put it on. People are liking the get vaccinated shirts.
Yeah. I hope you are as well. You know, not to get political, but it's more like just be safe, please. Oh, it's Book Club. We did a Shang-Chi episode.
That's right. We attempted to find a very good issue of Marvel.
We did. We found a great octopus one.
Found some great octopus comics. Yeah. Also, thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all the musical themes. And that's the whole show next week. Don't know what we're going to do.
Well, you know, I'm just seeing some reviews online for the movie Malignant, the new James Wan movie. Apparently, it's incredibly.
Is that on streaming?
Well, it goes to HBO Max, so it'll probably be available somewhere here.
We'll find it, yeah.
If we are, we might do that. We're not really horror guys, but we love horror.
But the thing about that is often is, we've got an interesting perspective, don't we, James?
No.
That's also correct. But
we'll do that.
But also, I'm often pleasantly surprised because I'm like, I don't know the tropes of horror really. So yeah. I can just, you know, I'm like, oh, this is good. And then I'll tell somebody that I liked it and they'll be like, oh, actually, they just stole all the stuff from an Italian horror movie from the 80s. And I'm like, oh.
I don't watch Italian movies.
This is what I sound like to other people, I think, to myself. Oh, the worst.
Oh, no. It's not a time for it's not a time for introspection, though. I'm not going to change.
I'm not going to change. It's too late. I've set my ways.
All right.
I suck it. I'm on board with it. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate
thanks
it.
You. We do appreciate it.
See
you. It's good to be here. I hope everybody's doing all right.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.